Hello and welcome to another episode of Review and Roast Presents. I am your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX, and I'm here with Mike, you can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. Today, we sit down with Kara Nicole, also known as AZ Power Girl, who you can find on Twitter at AZ Power Girl or at Facebook.com/AZ Power Girl.
Sorry. Yeah, just how long have you been cosplaying, really?
Okay, so I started cosplaying in 2010, and I started with a group called Justice League Arizona. I found it on Craigslist. I used to do some acting and kind of got set off to the wayside and thought, hey, I want to get back into, you know, performing and doing fun things. So I started looking around and I found an ad on Craigslist that said, hey, we're looking for superheroes. And I'm thinking, well, I'll check it out. You know, they're not going to want me. They're probably going to want someone better or whatever. And so I hit them up and they said, I think you'd make a good Supergirl. And I had already I'd already known about Power Girl. And I'm like, no, I want to be Power Girl. And so I suggested it and they were like, well, yeah, because you can't ask someone to put that costume on. And I guess nowadays you can, but
yeah,
back
right,
then it was
right.
Still a little awkward, right? So. I made the costume and started doing local events, you know, Toys for Tots and pictures with kids at events and movie screenings and all kinds of different fun things. And it snowballed. I decided, hey, why aren't we going to Phoenix Comic Con? And they said, well, we don't have any money. So that's okay. We're a 503C, which means we get a table for free. So I kind of spearheaded that and we got a table and I just started going around con. I had no idea that it was going to blow up like it did. I started getting asked, hey, are you going to be at San Diego? And, oh, do you have a Facebook? And I was always kind of type like, why would anyone want to talk to me? So, right. And I started getting messages and whatnot. And I'm like, well, I don't want people to know who I am.
Right.
Cause I don't know these people. So, you know, it was my first time at a con. I grew up in Denver. We didn't have one. We had Starfest, but we didn't have Comic-Con. So it just kind of blew up from there, and people kept asking me, are you going to San Diego? And so, well, I'm going to see. And I looked it up, and I ended up getting a job with Archie Comics.
Ooh.
And then Marvel Comics was like, hey, will you leave Archie and come work with us?
Nice.
So I did that. And then I ended up going to New York and getting invited to events and doing more charity events, and I helped build up our group, and then it all kind of fell apart. We had someone that was a little persnickety and kind of treated us like we were his toys just because it was his paperwork. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to kind of do this on my own.
Well, it seems to have worked out.
It did. It actually ended up working out very, very well because the people that had come into the group, because I invited them, they started going their own way too and started building more groups. And now we have this amazingly strong cosplay community of people visiting kids in hospitals, taking them comic books, doing events all over town, all over the country, as a matter of fact, and Make-A-Wish Foundation, just tons and tons of things. So that falling apart, I think, did work out in the best because it expanded the cosplay community into other things.
Definitely. So I've heard of people doing a lot of that, the charity Make-A-Wish type deals, which is actually pretty amazing.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic, and I'm just so glad that I was, you know, a part of all of that. And I still try to do what I can, but now my charity, because of the fact that I do so many conventions, is more art based. So I donate pieces of art, I donate product to places that auction it all off for you know, for charity purposes.
So when you say that, you know, you worked for Archie Comics and then you went and worked for Marvel, did you work as a model or did you work as an artist? Because I know that you're an artist as well.
I didn't actually work for Archie. They just hired me and then I left that job so that I could go work for Marvel. And I was just, you know, booth girl.
Okay.
You know, cosplayer. I didn't actually start into art until a few years ago when my company lost its colorist. And I was like, well, what are we going to do? We're going to need a colorist. And I was told, well, you're going to do it. And so I had to learn.
Figured it out.
Right. So, yeah, my job is I get to dress up like a superhero and color.
I mean, I don't hate it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like
hate it either.
Yeah. It's kind of a pretty good deal. Well, you're one of the few people that does this for a living.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's funny because there's a lot of controversy, but when people want you at so many conventions, could you imagine doing 37 events and conventions and trying to hold a job?
Yeah. Oh, I can't imagine doing two.
Yeah. Like, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just right.
Travel
alone.
Conventions sometimes go Thursday through Monday, depending on where you are.
Right.
It's very, very time consuming travel, and it's very expensive unless, you know, you're way on the top rung where everyone's paying for everything and fighting for you to be there. People have started recognizing that cosplay is a legitimate art form, and that's something that I've been advocating for. There are still conventions that say no cosplayers in Artist Alley. Well, why not? And some of them say, well, we don't want the trinkets, and we don't want the costumes, and we don't want the clothing sales. And I respect and understand that. But cosplayers who sell prints, I see it as the same as an artist who has prints. And I've even had this conversation with people. There was one guy, interesting story. I was at Rose City Comic Con last year, and this guy comes up and he's like, I don't think cosplay's art. I'm like, okay, why not? Well, I just don't think it is. So, okay, well, look, this is my Emma Frost, my cosplay print. And then this is my Emma Frost art print. I used the same tools. I used the same printer. I used, the same thing. They're both 11 by 17. They're both printed out, and they actually cost the same. So what's the difference? Well, I just don't think it is. And he just kept going on and on and on. And finally, I just left. I left my own booth. I'm like, I'm just going to go. And I just, saw someone I knew and just grabbed him. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Let's go take a walk. Mm. And Alfred Trujillo, who I work with, who is a penciler, he kind of worked the booth. And security ended up having to come and remove this man from my booth.
Wow.
And I didn't know that until I came back. I was like, wow. You are so gung-ho that cosplay is not art. I really wish you'd just piss off right now.
Yeah, I don't understand how, I don't know. To me, it's not even a question, really. I mean, given the body of work that most cosplayers put out, I guess. I mean, it's one thing if you're just a hobbyist, but I mean, it legitimately is artwork.
I mean, really. Either way, like if you're going to pay a photographer, a salary to go take pictures of a tree, now you're taking a model who's putting hours of work into a costume, and you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
There's way more to go into it than people realize. I mean, we've talked to quite a few other cosplayers, and it's like, it's baffling how many hours and how much time and money they've just put into their, their passion, their art, their work, and it's, to come up and just demean somebody like that is just annoying.
Yeah, that's
it. Really is. It's not necessary.
Well, and what do you get out of it? What do you accomplish by telling you you're not an artist? I don't even understand that that mentality, I guess.
Right. I exactly. So anyway, moving on.
Let's not give him any more credit.
Yeah, exactly. So like I said, I've been advocating for cosplay to be treated as a legitimate art form for many, many years. And I think that it's finally coming around.
I think the popularity of the con in general is rising, and that obviously helps kind of mainstream almost everything, really, I think.
Between that and the internet.
Well, obviously the Instagram and Facebook don't hurt it.
Right, yeah.
Helps it for
sure.
Well,
and that's where it gets tricky, because there are plenty of cosplayers out there with hundreds of thousands of fans, and people assume you're rich. They think,
right.
Oh, you're making so much money. Likes on Facebook, likes on Instagram do not equal money. No one's paying you every single time someone likes or shares your piece.
Yeah,
it'd be nice.
So I'm getting a lot of people wanting to get into the cosplay business, either from a photography standpoint or a cosplay standpoint, because they want to make money. Well, I can tell you right now, this is not a way to make money.
No.
Yeah.
It's very rare that, you're going to be able to do that. There's also a huge business aspect that goes along with it.
Yeah, when I, about maybe 2-3 years ago, I bought, a fancy DSLR, a couple hundred dollar camera, $500 lenses, So that when we start going to these conventions, I can take some really good pictures for our Instagram, our Facebook, our website, and all that stuff. And it's like, if you're not, like, if you're doing this off the bat to make money, you're just doing it wrong. Like, you got to go in as a fan first, and then if the money comes, hey, congratulations. But if you don't want to do it, like, as a fan, then you shouldn't even be trying.
Exactly. I mean, go in and take pictures, and, you know, I get a lot of photographers who want to get into cosplay photography because they think it's going to get them somewhere. And I think that photographers are, it's much harder to be a cosplay photographer than it is to be a cosplayer when you're talking about the business side of it. And I know many of them do it just because they enjoy it, but it's more than just taking the pictures. You've got editing and you have time constraints. Oh, yeah. We just got our own camera and do most of the photography ourselves under our own header because of the legalities as well. I know a lot of people will say, oh, well, I didn't get my pictures from this photographer, and then they want to sell them. It's like, well, you don't own it.
Right.
So the legalities are another thing that I do try to educate people on.
Right. So now they're your pictures right off the bat.
I'm sorry?
They're your pictures then if it's your camera, basically.
Actually, it's not. Whoever pushes the button. So this is very interesting. And if you took your camera and handed it to someone and said, hey, will you take a picture of us? That is legally their photograph.
Wow.
Right? And most people don't have a big deal about it, but I've seen things where there have been conversations online. Oh, I saw my picture on the cover of this book that's being sold on Amazon, and what can I do about it? It looks like it was taken in front of my booth. Well, if they took that picture, it's theirs, and there's really nothing you can do about it.
That's interesting.
So, you know, those are things that cosplayers do need to be aware of. I'll see cosplayers put out prints that are pixelated because they were never sent to the high res. I've seen cosplay photographs that could have been fantastic, but were never edited properly.
Yeah.
I've had photographers send me pieces saying, oh, take a look. What do you think? And I'm thinking, I don't want to tell you how bad it is. I'm sorry. Oh, I thought the lighting was good. Well, you have to go into your settings. You have to reset. It's very rare that you're going to get a perfect picture right off the bat, especially when you're dealing with cosplay, because you do want to add things. And I see that a lot as well, that people will add a lot of, you know, sparkles and fireworks and lightning and all these great things. And they'll leave that big fat zit on that poor cosplayer's face.
Right. Yep. I've actually noticed that a few times, you know, a lot of good effects, but not a lot of good, like you said, editing really.
Yep, and you have to take into consideration sometimes when a photograph is taken, because of the angle it's taken at, it's going to look wonky. Like, you might have this arm that seems to stretch on forever, or your body might look short because of the angle that the photograph was taken. And some people are very, you know, purists, and they don't want to edit. But when you're dealing with what you want to be a professional product, you have to take that into consideration. You have to adjust it to make sure that you don't look like your legs are, you know, 2 inches tall, and that you don't have an arm that stretches off forever. So these are editing things that all need to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, if you want to do it and make money, then you absolutely have no choice but to edit. Because especially if they're all taken, majority, unless it's a professional shoot, you're indoors at a con. You know what I mean? Like,
so I'm going to, when we put this out, I'll obviously make a post, and I'm going to put, you have about 42 websites, it seems like. So I'm going to try and list as many things as possible. You have azpowergirl.com, azpowergirl4u.com, and then I was looking at your new calendar, which is on indiegogo.com. So I'll have that listed too, because that calendar still isn't, it's coming out in 17, right?
So it's a 2017 calendar, right? Okay, yeah, but so it'll be out in about October.
Okay, so people will still have plenty of time to try and get on there. And
yeah, they have about a month on Indiegogo. I want to try to keep it to Indiegogo for the most part, because I don't want to be sitting around halfway through 2017 with a bunch of damn calendars.
Right. Now I got a question. Just a quick side note: Indiegogo, is that a lot like GoFundMe, or I'm not familiar with that site? Right.
Indiegogo is like Kickstarter. It's a crowdfunding site.
Okay.
I prefer it to Kickstarter just because Kickstarter is very difficult, paperwork-wise, to get all your stuff in.
Yeah, I've heard that they've basically become the devil now that they're so popular. You know what I mean? I've just heard nothing but problems with Kickstarter lately. But what do I know?
I had a lot of luck with my... I did very well with my book last year on Indiegogo. So all my stuff is already kind of in there.
Mm. So when you say your book, would you care to elaborate on this book?
Okay, so I put out my AZ Power Girl Kara Nicole cosplay photo book 2 last year on Indiegogo. I still do have copies left that you can find on my store, which is 183degreesstudio.com.
Right, I'll also link that. Where you can
find all of my art and my cosplay prints, my books, etc.
And Alfred's and, as well on there, right?
Yes.
Correct.
We just did a combined store.
Right. Yeah, well, you guys shared a booth. I think we, was it, it was C2E2, right, where when we ran mm-hmm. into her?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys share. He's actually a pretty talented artist.
Yes, he is. So, yeah, that's our store. And so I put out this book because I did, my first book came out in 2012. And it was 22 pages, comic book sized, bags and boards, just like a comic. You can have it CGC, graded, everything.
Nice.
And it's just like an artist sketchbook, except it's cosplay. And that book did very, very well. Back then, we didn't have a lot of cosplay product options. And I had my own booth at Baltimore Comic Con. And we put out the book. It did very well. I sold out halfway through the first day.
Jesus.
I was taking orders. I had to reprint that thing 4 times.
Wow. That's a
good problem. Yeah, exactly. So I put out the second one. I did some stretch goals where, you know, I could expand the book. And it went up to 32 pages. There's also a variant cover you can get in Cheyenne, Wyoming through the Loft, through that store as well. And it just did very, very well. And it, my joke is when people say, oh, I can't buy your stuff because my wife would get mad. I say, well, you get the book, you bag and board it, put it between your comics and hide it from your wife.
Right. That's just that's all it is.
So that's kind of my joke. And I do a lot of comic book cosplay, so it seems to work out well. It's something that's timeless. And I kept getting asked, do you have a calendar? 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 And my thought is, how many calendars do you need? But hey, if you want a calendar, all right, let's go for it. Let's put out a calendar. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm doing it for 13 months. It's going to be January 2017 through January 2018.
Cool. I think we'll definitely pick one of those up. We can hang it by our little podcasting station here.
Awesome. So, but I, like I said, I do want to keep it to Indiegogo because I don't want to be stuck with a bunch of product.
Right. Yeah. Like you said, a few months into it, who wants to buy one halfway through 2017? That's calendars would be tough.
They are kind of tough. And I find that that's true for any cosplayer. So, but I have a lot of extra perks that come along with the calendar. I even put in there where people can have their own birthday or a holiday of their choice or someone else's birthday put in there as well.
Interesting idea, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple different options I see here. I'm on that site right now.
So, yeah, that's my latest project, as well as I was the model for the Amara Tandris Magic card, which came out a few years ago, in the Dragon's Maze set. I don't know if you remember, you know, you go to the store, you see magic cards, packs of magic cards all over the place.
Scott was just playing Magic last night, so...
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so you know.
So he remembers.
Yeah, well, it's actually kind of funny because I started playing Magic probably in 93.
Yeah, we're mm-hmm.
all, and then I probably took 15 years off, and then in the last year or two, I've been trying to get back into it. So last night I had a little training session in my house.
Oh, nice.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, it's more expensive than drugs, but it's better on your body.
That's true.
I mean, sitting in a chair for 8 hours playing Magic's really not that great for your body. But, I mean, hey.
You can go outside and chase Pokemons.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, right? You balance it out with some Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did that. And I've done book covers for other people. I've done a lot of things. Comic book covers. I've been art reference for a lot of people. As well as my coloring. So... yeah, I've got just tons of work. I'm trying to think of anything else. I was also a model for a piece in Dungeons & Dragons magazine.
Nice.
It was also drawn by Mark Winters, just like the magic card. I do sell magic cards on my site signed.
Nice.
So people like that like, oh, wow, that's actually you. And it was funny when it came out.
Yeah, and we'll have the link for that attached to this for sure, the store.
Yeah, a friend of mine was like, that kind of looks like Kara. It's like, it is me. It's like, oh, hey, very cool.
You just gotta see this.
Everything. She was on the packaging and the help menu for the app. Just everywhere.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. And currently, another project that I'm working on, I don't know if project is the best word, but I am working on running for House of Representatives in the state of Arizona.
Which is a pretty big deal.
It's kind of a big deal, yeah.
Well, I would say as far as projects go, that's probably the most intense.
Yeah. Time consuming.
It's very interesting. I'm running as a Green Party candidate because I don't want to be locked into any of the Republican-Democrat...
rhetoric?
No. Well,
I was going to say bullshit, but...
Vote party lines.
Right.
I want people to have an option that is outside of party lines. And I want to be able to vote for what's right and not what's required.
Right, yeah, not what you're expected to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
No,
exactly.
And I completely
agree. And every politician will tell you, I don't vote party. You totally vote party lines and you know it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's ridiculously true.
Yes. And I have been actually doing legislative work for the past 3 years. So it's very funny, and I'll see comments occasionally here and there. Oh, you're just doing it for your cosplay career. Really, I've been doing this for 3 years and no one even knew, except for the people that, you know, do know, that hit me up and asked for help with their cases, their court cases. Mm-hmm. And I can usually direct them to where they need to go and encourage them to help us try to pass good legislation. So I've been doing legislative work in predominantly family law, as well as some in equal rights for men and women. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of, you know, women's rights, but when I see bills that come out that go specifically against men's rights, that's not equality. Mm-hmm. You know, when I hear from, you know, these coalitions, we need to put boys in jail before they become abusers. That's not right.
Some of the stuff they come up with is borderline ridiculous sometimes.
Oh, it is. I mean, there was a predominant aggressor bill that I got rid of twice that me and some of my friends and people have, you know, they were trying to make it to where any type of situation where the police were called for domestic violence, that the police officer gets to decide who did it, who did what, who's lying, who's telling the truth, and they could go through your phone and they could go through your computer.
Jesus.
Police officers have like 6 to 8 weeks of post-training. Lawyers and judges and therapeutic interventionalists and all of these people can't figure that case out. And you want a cop who's got more to do to have to deal with it? And the worst part is the way that it was written, and they freaked out when I brought this up. The way that they wrote this bill meant that if you looked through your child's phone or their internet, that it was domestic violence.
Wow.
And I'm like, you have lost your mind. And they started freaking out and looking through their stuff and questioning me. And all they could say at the end was, well, they wouldn't do that. Then don't make it a law.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's the kind of stuff that I deal with, along with family court issues, because I do see a lot of people abused in the family court system that we have. And they say, well, it's for the best interest of the child. Taking everyone's money is not in the best interest of the child. And when I say everyone, I mean both parents. I'm not even talking about one parent paying child support. I'm talking about both parents having to go see all of these specialists and professionals that cost thousands upon thousands of dollars, spending years in court because there were really no set guidelines. So I've been working on that for, like I said, past 3 years. And I want to continue that.
Yeah, by the time you get all of that figured out in the best interest of the child's an adult, you know? I agree.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
And the child has been drugged through this, that, and the other, taken away from parents.
Yeah, pitted against each other, you know?
Well, yeah. They're treated like pawns. It's ridiculous. And it's hurtful to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the lawyers that go in and they treat people like money. And when I see these cases, people show me their case and I'm like, oh, well, your lawyer should have filed for this instead of this. And this is the ruling that they gave you, but this is what the appellate court says. So that's wrong here. And our judges have no training. I actually went up against the Coalition for Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault there. Love these people. Sarcasm there. They tried to make judge training videos. And really? When you watch these videos, I understand judges need training videos. Sure. And why is it that in these videos, it was always the poor little white girl being assaulted by the big brown man? I'm like, excuse me? This is wrong. You know, where's the video about the woman who says that she's going to kill herself if he doesn't stay with her? Or the woman that throws all of his stuff out in the yard and sets it on fire because she didn't get what she wanted? You know, where's that? Where's the white guy in a suit that makes good money, that maybe works for the police force, assaulting his woman and getting away with it? Where is that?
Yeah.
But we don't get that. So they ended up redoing all of these videos based on, we got in tons of people to come in and talk about their cases and what happened. Lots of men saying, I was beaten, I was assaulted, my child was assaulted. So they changed the videos and then they hid them. They said, well, you can't watch them because there are copyright issues. Well, guess what? Legally, you can't have a copyright issue when it's a public government situation. So that's the kind of garbage that I'm just trying to get rid of. I just want people to have their rights, be treated fairly, and stop letting the money control our lives. Because we've got this huge race war going on, and the reality is, the people with the money, they don't care what color you are, they don't care what gender you are. If they can take your money, they're going to.
Yes, they will.
So that's a little bit on that. And yeah, like I said, I am running for House of Representatives, and you can see all of my views on issues at azpowergirl4u.com. I also am open to answering questions, and I can take donations from anyone in the United States.
Well, actually, funny you mentioned that, because I was just looking at that website right before you called in, and mm-hmm. I noticed that you want to push for year-round school, and I want to say...
I didn't say push for year-round school. I said I'm for year-round school.
Well, you...
Don't put words in our mouth.
Okay, I stand corrected. But, you know, and then, like, reading your reasoning behind it, of course, you know, the whole, like, you know, it's not, you know, there's no reason for it anymore. And, I was just discussing this with Mike, and it's like, well, I mean, they've already shortened the whole summer break to, like, it's about 2 months now instead of 3 months when I was a kid. Like, yeah, like, what's the point? Like, how much?
Okay, so what's the point? The point of year-round school is that they spend about 3 months at the beginning of the school year trying to get the kids to remember all the stuff that they just learned from the year before. Mm-hmm. So that's 3 months wasted at the beginning of the school year because these kids have forgotten. And I'm not saying get rid of all of summer break, but usually year-round school gives you about 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Also, our teachers are so poorly paid because people don't know this. Teachers are only paid for about 9 months. Right. Could you imagine having a job where you only get paid for 9 months of the year? So now our teachers have to scramble in the summer. They either have to take a lower paycheck year round to spread that 9 month paycheck over 12 months,
mm-hmm.
or they can get paid throughout the school year and not have an income over the summer. They're already so poorly paid as it is. Why aren't we letting them do their job and paying them for that?
Right.
So we've got kids that are losing the information that they lost because they have such a long break. We don't need our children off during the summer. They're not out working the fields. Now, where I'm at in Arizona, this is where this kind of thing applies. Our summers are so hot. Our kids aren't outside playing. They're inside sitting in the air conditioning because it's hot.
Yep.
I mean, it's 120 degrees. So with that being said, why not have them in an air-conditioned school, which the school is still being air-conditioned and worked on anyway? And when you're dealing with poor children, and we do have a very high poverty rate, I don't know if you're aware, but many of our public schools offer free lunch for local people and families and children during the summer.
Hmm.
So you're already feeding them.
Well, you got to figure, too, with, you know, like you said, the poverty being so low, and that's just getting worse everywhere. You know, mm-hmm. the education of Americans is getting worse every year. So, I mean, it sounds like a great idea if you really think about it, you know?
Well, you have to realize that when you have poor families or struggling families or families who are just, you know, trying to make ends meet, what happens to those kids in the summer? Many of them are just left home alone. with no supervision.
Right.
Why not have them in school? Or if they are poor enough and qualify, the government's just paying for these kids to go to daycare.
Right.
Well, they're going to daycare anyway. Why not have them being educated and having our teachers get that money? And our teachers be able to do their jobs instead of our teachers trying to go get a waitress job for 2 months. Who yeah. wants to hire an employee that's only going to be there for 2 months?
Or having one of the parents have to take the summer off, basically.
Right. And then that parent, what kind of a job are you going to have where you can take a summer off? You right. really can't. Or you have family members take care of the kids. Or you go broke trying to afford daycare. So why not just have them in school where they're learning? We definitely need the education here in Arizona. Many of our children up through third grade can't read. Our third graders can't read. And with the pushing of early education, many of our students start school at 3 or 4 years old. So by the time you're done with third grade, you've already been in school for 5 years and you can't read. Wow. Something is wrong.
That's almost an amazing statistic.
It's ridiculous. So I do think that year-round school, like I said, let's put our money into our teachers. Many of our schools have summer programs. So, like I said, we're still putting the money out there. Why not give it to the right people for good reasons?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, it's very similar here in the Chicago area. I mean, in the last couple of years, they've closed so many schools, you know, putting so many teachers out of work, overcrowding so many other schools. It's like, how is that beneficial to the future of, I guess, you know, us as a country? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's terrible. But, you know.
Well, I think it's funny when people say, well, I don't have kids. I shouldn't have to pay for school. No, but you're going to be old one day.
Right.
And all of those students are going to be the ones taking care of you. They're going to be the ones deciding your medication. They're going to be the ones wiping you when you're in the old age home. And they're going to be the ones that are going to possibly refinance your mortgage. And how do you want that to go down?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they're the ones that are going to run the country one day. They don't need to be stupid.
Exactly. And
we've already got enough people who are stupid running the country now.
So this is for District 26 in Arizona, is that correct?
Yes, it's Mesa, Tempe, and the Pima Reservation, a tiny bit of Phoenix and a little bit of Scottsdale.
It actually seems like a pretty decent-sized area.
It is. It's a pretty big area. The reservation is very, very large.
So let me ask you this then. How many people are you running against? And B, where are you in the polls currently?
Well, we don't really have any polls. And right now we're still in the middle of our primary season.
Okay.
So a few weeks ago, people started receiving their early ballots that you can get by mail. And then August 30th, people will be able to go in and actually vote. Now, we're in a state that has a closed primary, so you're only allowed to vote for the people in your party, unless you're an independent, and you put in a form saying, this is the ballot I want, and you have to choose a party. So you don't get to vote for a Democrat here, a Libertarian there, a Green Party there, and a Republican there. You no. have to vote party only for the primary election. And currently, we have 4 Democrats running. We have me as a Green Party, and we have 1 Republican. Now, there's 2 seats. And I'm in a very interesting district. We have 1 incumbent. And for those of you who don't know what an incumbent is the person who's currently in office in that position. So we've got 2 positions, only 1 incumbent. And she never ran for office. She was appointed.
Wow.
It also gets crazier. So the other current House rep is running for Senate. He promised he would not run for Senate because he would have to go up against the current senator. And he had promised he wouldn't do that. We had someone leave, and that's why we had the appointment. So everyone kind of rotated. So he did that even though he promised he wasn't going to. And then he brought in his girlfriend and another friend to run for House, and they're running on what's called a slate. So that means that they've combined all of their money and all of their resources to run together as a team. Well, here's the thing. This guy is the one who actually put the incumbent in office. He's the one who recommended her, and now he's going to go against her and bring in his girlfriend?
Wow.
Right? So it gets even better. Now everyone's receiving all of these mailers saying that these 3 people are the only candidates who care about education. And then they're getting more mailers saying they're the only candidates who care about women's rights. Are you kidding? You've lost your damn mind. You know, and so now everyone's pissed because they're spreading this rhetoric and these lies. And, you know, I'm kind of getting put by the wayside because I'm Green Party. And the thing is with third parties, if those people act like I exist, then they're validating
right
my candidacy. And they don't want to do that. They've also completely ignored the Republican candidate as well. And personally, I've talked to everybody, and I am willing to work with everybody. And that's what's important.
Yep.
This isn't about party lines. It's about working with everyone for the benefit of the state. So the guy running for Senate that's currently the House rep, he hasn't done anything in the past 4 years that he's been in. Literally nothing. He tries to pass the stupidest bills that don't do anyone any good. He's barely at the Capitol, but he's got an ego trip, and it's disgusting. So we've got that problem. So after the primary is when we'll figure out who I'm actually for sure running against. I've been kind of pulling back because I don't want to go out and talk to voters and then have them see their ballot and have me not be there and think I dropped out. So once the primary is over, that's when I go full force.
So August 30th, voters will not be able to vote for you.
Green Party voters and independents that chose a green ballot will be able to vote for me.
So either way, you're going to be on in November.
Yes, I will be on in November.
Okay.
Dig it.
Mm-hmm. And it's very cool. So I get to be on the same ballot as Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, right? It's crazy. It's crazy what's going on here. As well as
I better
see that
on Instagram.
Of recreational marijuana. Like, this is a very cool year.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be interesting.
Well, that's interesting. Sure. I don't know about cool, but interesting, definitely.
Well, that's kind of what I meant.
Cool. It's cool wow. For you.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, and it's so funny because we see politically all of these things about, well, if you vote for this person, it means that this person's going to get in. Yeah, no, it doesn't. I'm tired of voting for the lesser of two evils. Let's start voting for the greater of two goods.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people don't realize that there's more than two candidates.
Oh, yeah, there's actually five.
Yeah, people just don't care. Because, well the media also doesn't give them any airtime, so that's also another problem that we have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm getting quite a bit of airtime because of the fact that I'm a cosplayer, but I'm glad and grateful that I have it, but at the end of the day, I need the votes.
That was another thing I wanted to mention, is when I went to your website for office, the AZ Power Girl for you, you actually have a cosplay link, which I thought was pretty awesome.
But a lot of people don't know what cosplay is.
This is also very true.
You know, and it's very funny because the reactions I get have been very positive. You know, I don't try to milk it, but if I can use my cosplay to get attention towards the campaign, then I need to do that. Most Green Party candidates get between 1% and 5% of the vote, and I want to change that.
Okay, well, let's ask this then. When you win in November, how are you going to let your decisions in office be influenced by Doctor Who?
Well, it depends which doctor are we talking about.
Well,
I
know that you're a fan.
Based on the issue, because that's really a great way to go. There's so many doctors that I'm sure that every issue can be related to a specific doctor.
That's fascinating. Now that's an interesting point, but also, technically, they're also the same person.
But are they?
They.
Yeah.
But.
I mean.
Yeah, they are and they aren't.
So when are we going to see the Cybermen cosplay?
Right?
I don't know. It's one of my.
Cool. When are you going to cosplay a Cyberman?
When I can figure out how to make a costume like that fit a big fat guy like myself.
Yeah, Scott's more of a TARDIS.
Yeah, I'm bigger on the inside.
Yeah, every time I see a girl in a TARDIS dress, I want to say that. Yeah, right. But are you bigger on the inside?
And, you know, I mean, hopefully they're cool about it. I'm just saying.
I don't. Girls can be a little skittish sometimes, and, yeah. and there's some great TARDIS dresses out there.
Yes, there are.
But my mind always goes there.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was, I don't remember if it was C2E2, or it might have been Wizard World last year, but she had, it was almost like a TARDIS ball gown, and then she had, like, the top of the TARDIS on is like a little hat off to the side. It was really, really neat costume.
Well, I've had an idea that I've been kind of playing with. Do you remember the episode where, and if it's spoilers, then I really don't care because you should be caught up on this by now, where Clara had been, you know, taken over by a Dalek and she's living in her mind and she's making souffles and everything and she doesn't know that she's a Dalek?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So she was wearing that cute red dress and she was, you know, making souffles and where'd you get the milk and eggs? And it's a very good point. And so I thought would be really cool is a Dalek skirt where the bottom is the Dalek and the top is Clara.
That would be neat.
Right?
Mike wouldn't know because he doesn't watch Doctor Who.
Yeah, I don't. I stopped listening like 10 minutes ago.
But, are you sick? Is he feeling okay?
He's just one of those weirdos that doesn't care.
Do we need some medical care provided? Is our current medical care situation keeping you from getting the attention you need?
It is. It's hindering me.
I mean, it really is one of the best shows ever.
Oh, I know.
Do you, though?
If you don't like Doctor Who, try Rick and Morty.
One of these days. Scott's in on both of those. Scott's a bigger fan of both of those than I am, for sure. But you know what? In my defense, I haven't really given him a chance. I don't know if that's a defense or I'm just a bad person.
Just ignorance, I think.
Yeah,
that's called.
Yeah, maybe ignorance, I guess. I'll take it.
Well, Rick and Morty's supposed to be coming out for the third season, so you got to get caught up. It's so much fun. That's kind of my guilty pleasure.
Have you seen the spoof that they made for, I forget which con it was, but they overdubbed a, what was it?
It was a courtroom case, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was funny.
They also did another one where you just watch them and they're like, fade into this, that, and the other. And it wasn't very good. The improv was... Stick to the show.
Yeah.
But yeah. It is cool that the guy who plays the voice of Rick is the same guy who plays the voice of Morty. So to watch him converse with himself is very entertaining.
Yeah, I'll have to admit, I'm definitely more on the Doctor Who side. I have, you know, my friend Max is really big on Rick and Morty, and he comes over and we watch it sometimes. But
when do we even get Doctor Who back? They've taken like a year and a half off. This is ridiculous. They went from like a spring show to a fall show, and then they took a year to get on that.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing, because I don't know if, like, from what I've heard, and I haven't really looked into it, but I heard that Peter Capaldi wasn't too thrilled with being the Doctor, which was kind of weird.
He's such a good doctor. Everyone was kind of weird about him coming in, but I really enjoyed him.
I thoroughly enjoyed. He's probably maybe even my second favorite at this point.
Now, I would like to see Hugh Laurie be a doctor.
Yeah, I think that would work out very well.
I'd probably watch that one then.
Amazing.
Well, there was talk.
I think that would definitely boost ratings.
There was talk before. Did you ever watch the show The IT Crowd?
Yes, I watched a little bit of that.
Okay, so the guy with the glasses, the real nerdy IT guy. There was talk of making him the doctor, and I'm like, he would be perfect for that.
He would be a really good doctor. I think what happened is they started using younger doctors,
mm-hmm.
and it did bring in the younger crowd. But then when they put Capaldi in, people were kind of like, oh, but he's old. But he's so entertaining.
Yeah, he was.
So you've got the hardcore people that were okay with it, but you got a lot of the newer people that started with Tennant who want a younger doctor.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen all of the old original ones. Like, I started with, what's his name? With the leather coat.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name right now. But I started with him, and I just plowed through everything, you know, ever since. But, yeah, I never understood, like, why everybody's so like, oh, it's going to be a young guy. Like, why? Who cares? Like, I think the fact that they change the main character every few seasons is amazing. It keeps the show fresh. You can watch any episode without really knowing what's going on because they all tell their own story, but they're all also intertwined in a way that just makes the show so good.
Well, and I would have liked to see Clara go away sooner. She kind of went weird when Danny Pink came up, and I thought that it was going to go well. I don't like what they did with her. They made her too conflicted with her relationship with Danny, and I didn't see Danny being that way, so I really wish they would have gotten rid of her earlier. But I think people are finding out that the old rules of television and movies, they don't apply anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Stranger Things?
Mike's watching it right now.
I'm currently on episode five or seven, something like that.
And it's a good show, right?
Yeah, I like it so far.
So they had concerns putting this show out that having kids be the main character, but having it not be a kid's show was going to be a problem. And they're finding out, hey, it's not a problem. People are very cool with it. This is awesome. Go with it.
No, I've enjoyed it so far, and it's a little bit, I don't want to compare it directly, but it's a little Stand By Me-ish at times. You know, kind of.
Goonies.
Yeah, or that. But
Goonies.
But
if you look, characters
darker
are the same as the Goonies.
Yeah, it is. But they're a little darker to me. I mean, the whole show as a unit is pretty dark in general. But yeah, so far it's been lights out. It's been pretty good.
Can I ask you guys a question then?
Go.
Because everyone is telling me I need to watch the show, but every time I ask people what it's about, nobody gives me an answer.
You can't. If you say almost anything,
you spoil it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's
but Winona
really...
Ryder does a fantastic job.
Winona Ryder so far, and like I said, I'm only probably a little bit more than halfway through. She is outstanding by far. And the guy that plays the sheriff, which you'll know his face, but I don't know his name, but he...
Yes, exactly. I've had that same problem.
Yeah, I know his face, and you know him too, Scott, but you wouldn't know his name. But he starts off, and you're like, oh, this guy's just... ugh. And then you're like, wait a minute, this guy's actually pretty awesome. So, I don't know. Again, we didn't help you.
It's hard. If you say anything, you spoil it.
Yeah, there's almost nothing you can really say relating to the show that would not be some type of a spoiler. But go ahead and watch it.
And it's one of those shows that whenever you think you know what's going on, you find out that you don't.
Yeah, so far that's definitely been the case. It's mm-hmm. pretty good.
So, but it is very good. It's definitely worth watching. It's only one season.
Right.
It's easy to get through.
Yeah, I can tell you that it is... there is a secret government research facility. It's actually not a government research facility. It's like a private one or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't think you would say that because that was one of those things where it was like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's all I'm going to tell you. That's a big enough bombshell that it's... Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. So anyways, let's get back to...
whoever you are.
Yeah. We like side railed and derailed there. I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to, when we put this post out, I'll put all the plugs in. Basically, everyone needs to be sure that they go to azpowergirl4u.com and check out the issues tab, because that's got basically most of your, what would you say?
Issues?
Well,
stances?
Yeah, her opinions on the issues.
I try to put important things in there. You know, I try to put personal...
Yeah, and you put a lot of personal stories in there, which is how you relate to said issue. And I thought that those were actually done quite well. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. You just need to go there. You need to read that. You need to see what Kara's all about here, my opinion.
And you need to get my new calendar.
Yes. And that will also be there. That's on Indiegogo and 183 Degree. Well, I'll put the link in. But is that what it is?
Yeah.
183 Degrees.
And I can actually email you all of the links. 183degreesstudio.com as well as my Patreon, patreon.com.
Oh, yeah, Patreon. Right. So many, like I said, all you really got to do is Google AZ Power Girl and you're pretty much... There's a few results. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I also have on my campaign page a bunch of links to stories that have been done about me. That actually went worldwide in multiple language. I mean, like, it's been insane. It's like, oh, look, here's one in Vietnamese.
Well, I was going to use the word funny, but I think that's probably the wrong word. But I think it's just odd that in this day and age, it's still being brought up as an issue that you're actually a model as well as working in the legislative branch of the government. I don't know.
Well, and that's where it's interesting. I don't know if you recall that I had said on there that this job was created to be something that we hold. You know, this is a layperson's job. Mm-hmm. That means the regular person. People say, well, what about experience? What about qualifications? Qualifications doing what? Going to school and learning how to sucker you into voting for me? Mm, that's right. Terrible.
Yeah.
You know, how to say whatever it is.
Or because your uncle was a senator and you have the same name, you know?
Right.
That makes you qualified?
Exactly. You know, we got to get out of the lawyers, the politicians, the family business. We need to take back our government. Our government was created to be run by us, right. not them.
I honestly couldn't agree more with that. I mean, I don't want to. I'm not just trying to jump on your bandwagon here. I do. No. I completely agree that that's something that's been lost in the last 100 years easily in this whole country. I mean, not just. I mean, and you're. Where you're at is where it starts. You know what I mean? The district
right.
getting in. I mean, that's the only way it's going to happen.
Yeah, basically the problem is not experience. The problem is career politicians.
Yep.
Exactly. Like, you know, you've got someone that goes from here to there to the other. Well, what have you done? Well, I've been there. Good for you.
Right,
you haven't done anything.
What are your qualifications? I live in this country. I'm a citizen.
Right? I'm of age. I'm a citizen. I live in the district, and I actually have quite a bit of experience, like I said, with some of the legislative work that I've done, so I know what's up. I know, you know, what the deal is. I know how things roll. So do you want a regular person that works for a living, or do you want someone that lives off of student loans until they can, you know, get that paycheck? And that's something that I've asked all of my competitors, as well as everyone, what's your job?
Right.
This is intended to be a part-time job. This job only pays $24,000 a year.
Wow.
You are supposed to work.
Right.
How the hell do they live if that's all they make? Oh, that's right. Bribes and under.
Well, they're supposed to have a job.
Yeah.
So at least with me, you know, I make a living.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, other people that, you know, might take bribes. And I've got asked a lot of questions about, well, how do you plan on juggling cosplay and, you know, the office? Well, legislative session is only 11 weeks and it's Monday through Friday. And if there's an emergency or I need to be there, I can forego working on a costume. I can, you know, put off coloring a piece or going to a con. I can have Alfred go and set up. I can show up Saturday morning, do the weekend, fly out early if I need to, if there's something, you know, that needs to be done.
Right.
But I've got the whole rest of the year. I do a lot of stuff online. You know, I can work it out a lot better than other people who may run the risk of losing their job if they have a day job. I know a lot of people, well, if you're not here, you're fired. How do you choose between your job and the one that you only have for 2 years?
Right. And not that your current profession is not a pretty busy one, but like you said, you do have a little bit of flexibility in that you actually do a lot of your scheduling as well.
I mean, exactly.
Obviously, you're trying to get to this con or that one. That's where you meet the fans. That's where you network. But like you said, you could have Alfred go set up, and you just pop in when you're needed.
Makes you sound like Batman.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on Batman. I just did a rant on him recently.
I heard it. Don't get her started. I watched the whole thing. Don't get her
did
started.
Did you watch it?
Don't get her started on Bruce Wayne. Please. I'll show Scott the video later. Pretty funny. I enjoyed it. Pretty good points.
Thank you.
You have pretty good points on most of your topics you rant about. I'll give you that.
I need to do a little more ranting.
you're pretty good at it, honestly. I'm telling you.
So as soon as we're done here, you better hop online and get azpowergirlrants.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I should. You know, I mean, it's usually posted all to my YouTube, but this whole thing with Facebook Live has been pretty great for that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So,
is there anything else you want to get out there?
Not that I can think of. Like I said, support the calendar and get my book, and you know,
and
follow me online.
The book and most of the other things, other than the calendar, everything's available on your Store Envy store.
Yep.
Is that what it's called, Store Envy?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Confusing myself. I have like 7 tabs open with all your various things, and I'm all mixed up here.
I have a lot of places.
You do.
Yeah, no wonder my internet's slow.
This goes for everybody. Feel free to ask me questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty open and I'm pretty available to make sure that, you know, I try to answer as many questions as I can.
For sure. Yeah, I'm. Let me be the first one to say good luck, and I hope you actually do win, because we could use somebody like you, in my opinion.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, and we will. I'll be in touch. I'll shoot you an email or something when we're. We'll probably put it out. What do you think, Scott? Wednesday-ish?
We could do it tomorrow.
What day is today? Well, you got the. Oh, you don't have the other one coming out.
No, we had technical difficulties.
You know what? Then we'll do it tomorrow afternoon sometime. We'll have this out and we'll put it up on Facebook, and I'll let you know.
Great. Send me the link.
Fantastic.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for coming on.
Bye-bye. And as always, if you ever want to come back, just, you know, give us a shout.
Oh, yeah. Anytime. You know what? And, yeah, that's a good point. You know, if it gets closer and you want to get back on one more time and we can share it out, you know, just a little anything about your view. I mean, like I said, I think you have great stances on most of the issues that you're talking about. So I'm more than happy to share as much as we can.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I've gotten quite a bit of support from the Chicago area, so I think that's great. And one of the things that sometimes, I'm going to throw this in here last minute, but people think, well, you're in Arizona, it doesn't affect me. Well, let me tell you, it does. Arizona was the first real state to equalize parenting time in the family courts. And now other states have started using our bill to get that set up in their own states. So we need to look at each other and we need to say, oh, this is doing great in Arizona. Let's bring this over here. And you already have the verbiage and you already have the bill set up to bring it into your own state. And this is a great way that regular people can get involved. When there's a good bill passed somewhere, look it up and send it to your local legislators and say, we want this here. And the work is already done for them. When they have to write it up themselves, they're less likely to do it. But if you say, this is what we want, that's fantastic. I have a friend in Wyoming that just sent me an amazing breastfeeding bill that they passed that I think, you know, the verbiage would work anywhere. So we can use each other and things that have done well to make all of our states better.
No, I couldn't actually agree more. And I think that it's important that, I mean, just as a person, and I don't necessarily want to use the term role model, but you'd be more of an example that, you know what, people can do this, you know, and if it's got to start in Mesa, that's where it's got to start, in my opinion. And the more people will get into it or try to make a difference some way, somehow. I mean,
And I've had a lot of people say, hey, you know, I saw that you're running, and they'll talk to me and then they'll go run for their own local city council or they'll run for state legislature. So we need to take it back. Let's take back our government.
No, I agree. I think that that's an important thing. And I mean, I'm not going to run, but somebody should.
But kudos to you. Yeah. Is what you mean.
Well, I mean, it does. It inspires people to be better, I think. And I think that it's awesome.
Thank you so much.
So, but anyways, yeah, thanks for coming on. We will be in touch pretty soon, actually. Probably sometime tomorrow. I'll shoot you an email, let you know.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.